Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Gianervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. The stadium is dead, and then an hour later, I'm horned, Yankee Magic, I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the conference final show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Four teams remain in the NBA, and we are just about to start the Western Conference Finals as we begin our podcast recording tonight. Very, very exciting moment in the NBA. The East Final is already underway. Game 1 is in the books. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. Chris and Georgia will join us as usual in the co-host position. And also joining us tonight, potentially, depending on how things go with his night, our friend Tom in New Jersey may join us alongside the two of us. So we're looking forward to all of that coming up in the next hour plus tonight. So much to cover. Only one spot for the championship, but there are four teams ready to go at it. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's jump it. The NBA report for May 14th. We have arrived. It's conference finals time. The Rockets are currently playing the Golden State Warriors, and already they're up 9-2 in the early first quarter. And it's a game that I think that they are figured to win, that they should figure to win. They are a 1.5-point favorite in this game one with the home court advantage. In the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics demolished the Cleveland Cavs 108-83 on Sunday. And in the previous round, the all the respective teams won. Obviously, you know, you have the Warriors and Rockets winning their series. You have the Celtics and the Cavs winning their series pretty convincingly. And so we will cover that later in the show. What's left for the teams that didn't make it to the conference final? And the big one, of course, is Toronto. I mean, they were just a disgrace in that round. Really just a very disappointing time. Certainly the franchise itself was disappointed. They fired longtime coach Dwayne Casey after a 7-year period with them. But what's funny is that the coaches association voted him for the coach of the year. So, you know, it's a pretty difficult time for Toronto Raptors basketball right now. So there it is as we continue our look into the East and the West finals. This is going to be a very fun week, so I think these series could be good, but definitely a big statement win by Boston yesterday against the Cavs. So let's bring in our co-host, Chris. Chris, welcome back. Good to have you with us, and how's it going on this fine NBA night?
Great, Dave. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You got it. So let's catch you up on the tonight's action. Again, Rockets now up 12-4, and... It really has been a lot of fun so far. Now we'll get back to the series in a minute, but let's first talk about your Celtics, Chris. What a performance by that defense, and you know, we were talking about Jason Tatum during the game, and he really made it happen on both ends of the floor. He was just terrific. Al Horford was terrific on the defensive end, Jaylen Brown ended up having the most points with 23, I believe.
23,
yep. 23 total points. And you actually had three guys with 20 points and four guys in double figures for the day. The Cavs absolutely had no answers. The Celtics were introducing numerous switches on every possession, and it flustered LeBron on that day. So I'm going to give it to you now and and request your synopsis of the game. I mean, this is certainly a great moment for a Celtics fan. So your thoughts on what was a very, very impressive performance.
It was impressive. I'm trying to stay calm, trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves. It's just one game. And if you remember in the Philly series, Celtics won game one pretty convincingly, won by 20-something, if memory serves. And so I don't want to get too crazy because this is still LeBron James. The team stinks around him, but he's been playing out of his mind this playoffs, especially in the Toronto series. So I don't know what to say. I mean, it was absolutely just end to end. The Celtics just dominated. I think they started the game on a 25-2 run, and it was never really close. I mean, the funny thing was at the end of the third, the Cavs went on a nice little run, and they cut it to 14. And I went to Twitter, and people are saying, "Oh, this is, you know, the Cavs are making their comeback. It's going to come back." And then the beginning of the fourth quarter, the Celtics scored the first 7 points, and that was it. It was just within like a minute and a half, they scored 7 points. Their lead was back up to 21, and it really wasn't close. And Ty Lue rested his starters, notably LeBron, for a good chunk of the fourth, and it was confetti time in Boston. But I mean, there was a lot to digest in there. The Cavs defense was atrocious. I mean, absolutely awful. I mean, the Celtics could get into the paint at will. I mean, Marcus Smart, Brown, Tatum, everybody was driving to the basket. And it just highlighted the fact that the Cavs really have one guy who can stop the dribble penetration, and it's LeBron. Everybody else is a liability. Love has no interest in playing defense. Horford just torched him. And the rest of the guys, Korver was, you know, he's not a good defender and never has been. Jordan Clarkson was awful yesterday, just absolutely awful. It was a bad game, and the surprising thing was that the Sixers shot so poorly from 3-point land. And I'm trying to dig up the stats. Yeah, they were 4-for-26 from three, which is remarkably bad. So I look at that and I expect that. Obviously, that's not going to continue. And we're gonna have some tighter games ahead, and Lou will make some adjustments. I mean, he's already said that he's gonna start Tristan in game two, or he's hinted at that. And it would make a lot of sense.
I mean, I think he should do it. Yeah.
Kind of surprised he didn't start game one.
Yeah,
but there'll be adjustments on both sides. And Brad's not one to sit to stand pat. And he said after the game, they win by 25 points. He said, "Well, we have a lot of work to do on defense."
He held them to 83. We got a lot to do on defense.
but they're not. The beauty of the NBA playoffs, Dave, is that the games never, from game to game, and they have their own identity. They never look the same. You can say, "Oh, well, they're gonna go back to Jalen and Jason." It could be Rozier's game next game, you know. So that's sort of like the beauty of basketball. There's constant adjustments in the playoffs. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I could say a lot more about it. A lot of what I'm thinking is I'm just trying to temper myself. I don't want to get too crazy about this, but as a unbiased observer, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I can't be truly unbiased. Let's be honest. But but they did a great job. I mean, the Celtics really put a lot of effort into defending LeBron on Sunday, and they deserve all the credit in the world. And I don't think they're getting enough credit. I just go to ESPN and they just keep finding ways to make excuses for LeBron. Like, "Well, LeBron lost game one in these five series against the," and they were all against the Bulls and the Pacers. I'm like, so what? I mean, the Bulls and the Pacers were barely a threat compared to the Celtics. I mean, give me a break. I'm like, those guys have like no guts. I don't worry about the Bulls or the Celtics having a 1-0 lead on anybody over those over that period of time. But having said that, I have to agree. I think we know that that's not going to happen again in back-to-back games. And there was a lot of talk about how LeBron was quote-unquote feeling it. Did you get that? Did you hear that? They were like, oh, but LeBron's just feeling it out. He didn't put all his effort into that game. He kind of took it easy. And I'm like, I mean, you take it easy. Well, all right. I mean, you buy into that? What do you think?
Why wouldn't he play hard? He had 5 days off.
No.
5 days of rest. What, he's going to take a six? I mean, the Celtics played, you know, much more recently. The Cavs were done. That you know, they swept Toronto. I mean, they were done several days before Celtics played game five. So I don't know. I mean, why would he do that? I don't understand that. I mean, that's crazy. I think that's excuse making.
It's a little silly.
I watched him. He was, you know, he wanted to win that game. I mean, there's no question in my mind. And I don't understand if you're LeBron, how do you even do that? Like, what do you do? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe in the second half, maybe you start to take your foot off the gas and you don't play as many minutes or something. I don't know. But to me, it just looked like an all-out defensive masterpiece by the Celtics, in my view. I mean, yeah, maybe after the first quarter, he didn't try to take as many shots. I mean, that's probably what the idea is. Like, well, he was trying to get his teammates involved in the first game. I mean, that's sort of what people have been saying, too. I'm like, well, he just wants to see what it's like to pass the ball around first, and then the next game he's going to take more shots. This is probably right. I think he is going to take more shots in game two. I think he'll try to get to the hoop a lot more. But, that again, I don't think that's giving the Celtics enough credit. I really think that it's not just that he didn't want to go to the basket more. He couldn't go to the basket more. Even when you had guys switched up, and KOC was great in pointing this out, but when a guy like Rozier, who's massively undersized compared to LeBron, was switched onto him, guess what happened? The Celtics would take another guy and double-team LeBron and force him to make another decision. So, I mean, I just don't think the Celtics got enough credit in that game. I mean, they got a lot of credit, certainly, but, man, ESPN and maybe not The Ringer so much, but other networks couldn't wait to talk about how, well, it's not over yet. Well, LeBron was just feeling it out. I'm like, the Celtics absolutely dominated that game. You just stop making excuses for LeBron, man. They played great. What can you say? I thought that they did a tremendous job. So I thought that was great for me, just from the standpoint that even as, you know, even though I ultimately do want the Cavs to win the series, I mean, I'm not going to get beat up over the Celtics win the series. I mean, I'm not going to take a week off and seek counseling, but you know, it's interesting. Like, I think I wanted this to be an interesting series, and I think Celtics winning game one makes that happen. Now, the real question is, like you said, there are going to be adjustments made, and I do think that the Cavs really should try to get not only Tristan Thompson, but that Osman guy, right? Czech guy, yeah, Osman, get him involved. I mean, he never plays. And I'm like, remember that time he played during the game after the Celtics-Cavs, after the Cavs made the big trade? And he was a big function of that. He was a big part of that team that day. And it is a little peculiar that he wouldn't play in this series. I think they should get him in the mix more.
He really hasn't played much in the playoffs at all, which kind of surprised me because – to me, he's pretty athletic. He's not a good defender. He's not going to help in that regard. But you know, they I think they're desperate for wings. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, Clarkson is. I mean, he should not see the light of day tomorrow night.
I guess people are finding out about Clarkson, huh? Because like Laker fans would ride in Clarkson most of his career, and now the rest of the country is doing the same thing. He turns the ball over a lot. I mean, he doesn't. Yeah, he's very inconsistent. He'll have like one great game, and then he'll have like four games where he'll be like, oh, come on, man. Like, really? Like, I get that. Like, I see that. I've seen it many times, and so it's weird.
Like, yeah, it's like how many times can you hit the front of the rim on a jumper, you know?
Yeah.
But Tristan, like, to me, I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you, that he did at least start the game because, clogs the paint, you know, and that's what they needed. And like the Celtics, I mean, they, like I said, they don't have the ability to guard these guys off the dribble. Like if they want, when they're driving to the basket, rather, Tatum and Jaylen Brown are driving to the basket, they can't stay in front of them. And just having that body in the middle to, you know, at least, alter shots and make the player think about passing or kicking it out again, could make a big difference. So, the people who are making excuses or saying these things, they're right about that, though. It's only one game, and there's no carryover. The Celtics won it convincingly, but that doesn't mean game two is not going to be a tight one, you know, or that the Cavs are going to win. You know, there's just so much that can happen. So I'm not even close to throwing dirt on Cleveland. I still think they'll probably win it, as a matter of fact. But it was fun for one night. I heard so many pundits saying, well, Cavs in four, Cavs in five. I guess it could be five still. But, you know, when I heard four, I kind of got a little annoyed just for the simple fact that I still think this Celtics team, without Kyrie and without Hayward, is better than last year's Celtics team. By the way, was playing without Isaiah Thomas and took the Cavs to five games. Mm-hmm. I still think it's a better team. And it's just for the simple fact that Tatum does not look like a rookie. I mean, let's face it, he's playing really, really beyond his years. Jaylen Brown is a much better player than he was a year ago. I mean, it's just sensational perimeter player now. It's crazy to think about. He just did not have this kind of range. And, it just in one year, the amount of the leaps this guy has taken is it's kind of astonishing. And so when people said, oh, it's going to be a sweep, I got crazy. I don't know. I never take that stuff too seriously.
Who called it for a sweep? I want to figure out who was a big enough dumbass to make that call. A sweep? That's ridiculous.
Well, there was, it was another podcast. I'm not going to name names. And they actually did a show. They released a show this morning, and they kind of, one of the guys who called for a sweep, he had to eat a little bit of crow.
Yeah.
But it's all fun, but it kind of got under my skin. Cause I look at Cleveland, in my mind, they're not as good as they were a year ago. And I look at the Celtics and they are better, even without Kyrie and without Hayward, they are better than they were a year ago. And I guarantee, you can't make that, apples to apples comparison, but yeah, I think the Celtics have a better shot than they did last year. Absolutely. And I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I still think it's going to be a 7-game series. I think it's going to be dynamite, though. I'm excited. I can't wait for tomorrow night. I'm glad we're recording a night early so I can sit down and focus on the game. And then we'll reconnect next week.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. And I do think that Cleveland will win game two. I think they're going to make that adjustment. Uh-oh. You're going to see it. But anyway, just going in the East game. It's going to be a good series. I predicted before the series started, I said that it would be, I think, Cavs in seven, and I think this would probably line up to do that. So it'll be fun. We'll get back to this series and talk about this some more, as I mentioned, in next week's show and even in this week's show. If we have some more time later, let's get to the West Final. The Rockets having a nice lead, but I just noticed that that James Harden went to the ground and started grabbing his ankle, and I'm like, uh-oh. I don't know how serious that is. I don't think it's that serious, but it still makes you stop breathing for a second. Did you think that was a severe injury?
It's hard to tell. I'm going to say no. It looked like Kevin Looney kind of stepped back and may have stepped on his ankle I wish I hadn't taken a commercial break so quickly. But I'm going to say he'll be fine. Maybe, you know, they come back from the timeout and he's, you know, on the sideline. But I think he'll be okay. Oh, we'll see. I don't know. I just saw it in real time as you did, and it's hard to make an assessment like that. But to me, it didn't look all that serious.
No, it looks like he's going to – I mean, looking, they're showing a replay coming out of break now, and he seems all right. Like, I don't think – it's super serious. He'll probably come back in a few minutes. I think. Hopefully.
I hope we both didn't just mush Harden.
Yeah. I know. Oh man, that would suck. We certainly don't want that because we've been waiting the whole year. I mean, really, from the opening tip off back in October for this series, because I felt like this is going to be the series, and it's playing out pretty well. I mean, Houston did have a nice lead. But I can see that the Warriors have cut into the lead. It is now a 4-point lead, soon to be 6-point lead, and they lead 25-19. So, well, ooh. Now we have, as Chris will see here, the Kevin Durant 3-pointer, which cuts the lead back to 3. So we are just getting started here in Houston. This is going to be a pretty fun night. Gosh, what are the keys to this series? I think is my first question out of the box. I think we can share our predictions in a moment, but we've talked about how the Rockets have had a very good defense this year, and I think you see some of these guys. I think you would even put Chris Paul in there. We mentioned Capella, who's really, he shows it on the court very easily. It doesn't take much time to notice how good he is. Mbah Mute, Ariza, you know, guys like that. Even Harden, to some extent, has been playing better defensively. It's a good defensive team, And the talk is that they built this team to beat the Warriors. So, you know, we both said it last week. They have to win this game. Like, this is the whole point of the season. Like, this is what they've worked for. So I hope they win it. I think they will win this game tonight. They certainly look good to win it at the moment, assuming no injuries. And we'll see. But what are your keys to this series? I've shared the Houston side. Feel free to share your thoughts as well. And then I'd be interested to see what you have as far as the Warriors.
Well, definitely the matchup I'm into is Draymond against Clint Capella. And Draymond, as he often is kind of the is a bit of an equalizer, and just because he can do so much, and because he can guard bigs, and he can. You know, he's a pretty decent offensive player, you know, pass the ball. He can do so much in their offense. And can Capella do enough just, you know, to stay on the floor and stay in the game? Because as we saw in the Utah series, he was just outstanding and really held his own against Gobert, in my opinion. So that's one. One point I should make, and I kind of texted you while this was happening as we were starting the show, was that very opening minutes of the game, Draymond got a technical. I mean, he on a layup by Harden. Harden, after he completed the play, Draymond put an elbow like right into his throat. It was a technical. So that's going to be something to watch because Draymond. Losing his cool and costing his team a series there's a precedent for that.
I can't remember where I saw that, but you're right.
So he's got to be careful. And he, you know, as great as he is, he's just such a hothead. And in a lot of ways, I like him and respect his game. But I mean, that was really uncalled for. Especially so early. Harden may have said something to him, but you gotta keep your head in the game.
I agree.
There's no excuse for that.
No, it's too early for that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was funny though. The very opening play of the game, Dave. Houston won the tip. Ball goes to Harden. You know, Harden takes it down the court, and the Warriors. I know the Rockets are trying to isolate Harden, but. The Warriors basically ran away from the ball. Harden was wide open from three.
Oh.
just stood there for about 3 seconds, just measured up his shot and drained it.
Wow.
I mean, it was really bizarre.
That is crazy.
They
kind of summarizes the Rockets in like one play, right? I mean, they're like, well, it's ISO ball and threes, and he's kind of isolated himself for a three. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. So we have a 1-point lead by the Rockets at the end of the first quarter.
It's a good.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, to be only up by one after that start, I don't know. That's a little worried about that.
Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, we've seen. Both these teams have really been rock solid. I mean, I think, did they both lose? I got to look back. San Antonio, Golden State sweep San Antonio? I can't even remember now. I need to go back and look at
that. They won that one in five.
So each team has only lost one game in each of the first two opening round series then, right?
Yep.
They all won 4-1 in both rounds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the first round Houston beat the Timberwolves in five, and then they beat Houston. I mean, beat Utah in five. So, yeah,
right. Similar that's path. What I thought.
Yeah, it's pretty even, right? From that standpoint, they both have almost the same record. Obviously, not the same record, but they had similar number of wins in the. I'm sorry, similar number of losses in the playoffs so far. So and they both like to shoot threes, so like that. Yeah, it's there's some similarities there, I think, but obviously some key differences which we've established in our previous shows. And I do think that it's again, you know, they always say defense wins championships, but if that's true, then Houston should win the series. But it's just hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I mean, you're talking about some special players, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, both when they are on. Oh, it gets nasty. It gets really crazy. Oh, we got Tommy joining us. One second here.
Yeah, the interesting stat, and I think I brought this up last time, was just looking at the number of passes team, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, number of passes each team makes per game, pass attempts per game, and or passes made, I should say. So this is an assist. This is just purely passes. How many times a team passes the ball? The top team in the playoffs, this is the final 16, is the Warriors.
Yep.
Number three is the Celtics, 76ers are two.
Yep.
At the bottom, you got Houston, and you got Cavaliers. Oklahoma City was the lowest.
Yeah.
And then you had Houston and Cleveland, which makes a lot of sense because they basically play somewhat similar, and they do a lot of isolation. They run a lot of isolation. Celtics run much more of a like a motion offense, so they're constantly passing the ball. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but it's kind of interesting that it broke down this way, where two of the top three teams in passes made and two of the bottom three teams in passes made are in the final four. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It'd be interesting to see if there is a pattern as far as who wins this series. If we do get like Celtics Warriors, or if we do get Cavaliers Rockets. Interesting to watch. But, you're right, though. I mean, Houston, much improved defensive team. I mean, and that's carried over in the playoffs, too. They've been outstanding. And as have the Warriors. So the Warriors are the top defensive-rated team in the playoffs. And Rockets are second. Celtics are fourth. There's a lot of interesting little narratives to watch here as far as that goes. If you're a stats fan like I am,
you know, I was waiting for the answer at the end of that, but I was just going to say the other key to watch is the bench. I think the two benches will be, I think we'll have a big say in this. And personally, I don't really know if either team's bench is really that spectacular. Like comparing that to the Boston bench or comparing that to the Philly bench in the previous series in the Eastern playoffs. So I don't think the depth is great on either side, but I think those bench guys will be a deciding factor. We know that Iguodala is still going to be a pretty solid defender. Maybe he's lost a little bit as he's gotten older. You have West. You have Swaggy P, aka Nick Young. You have JaVale McGee. You've got a bunch of guys and that'll come in and out. But certainly, it's not the same bench that we've been used to. It's not quite as good. And I keep acting like Klay Thompson's not on the team. He's absolutely on the team, and he's going to be a huge facet of this series as well. So it's the supporting players, I think, that are going to be a big help. And I think similarly for Houston, we're going to see what Ariza brings to the table, what Gordon brings to the table. And was it Anderson, I think the other guy was? And so those are all keys. So anybody from the groups of supporting players that you wanted to highlight?
No, that's a good point. I wasn't even thinking about that, but the Warriors really have that sort of battle-tested bench. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. They haven't played great, and they've kind of shown their age at times. But I wonder how much that playoff experience for guys like Livingston and David West and Iguodala, how important that's going to be going forward. And you're right. I think all four teams, bench isn't really a strength. Celtics obviously losing two big stars, but also the underrated part is guys like Daniel Tice. Of course, the Celtics are down two guards now because Shane Larkin is out along with Kyrie, so they're really thin at guard. And in fact, Tatum's played some shooting guard in this Cavs series. I think a lot, that's an overall theme. My opinion is that, you're looking at these teams maybe going 8-9 deep for most of the games. I mean, granted, in the Celtics game yesterday, they opened up the bench and you had guys like Yabusele and Abdel Nader playing, a few minutes there at the end. But I think for the most part, the real rotation is going to be 8 or 9 deep on a lot of these teams. The Rockets have, in my opinion, a sneaky good bench. I mean, Gerald Green's been a really nice pickup for them. PJ Tucker, they have some nice little pieces. I mean, they're not going to blow you away, but they could be sneaky good in especially in this Golden State series.
And I think these benches are getting put to the test right now as we record this. Both teams really going with their bench guys. There are a couple of starters on either side still on the court. There's one starter on the Rocket side with Paul, but for Golden State you've got Draymond and Clay both playing, but everybody else is on the bench. So with all that said, the Warriors had a 3-point lead, and now Paul just tied it up. This is a good game. Now, this is going to get very interesting. So let's get your prediction for this series as we see another Livingston basket. Wow, that was pretty good. But let's get your predictions. I mentioned the game prediction, but series prediction, I'll give that to you in a sec. What do you think about the series, though?
I, as you know, I picked Houston to go to the finals. So you picked Golden State. No matter what, I think right now I'm not going to change that. I'm going to say Rockets in 7. So I'm saying both these series go 7 games. Rockets and Celtics Rockets and Cavs both in 7.
Wow, yeah. Now, those are good predictions, though. I mean, I had the prediction of Cavs in 7, so I feel like that's going 7-2. For this series, I'm going to go... I wrote down Warriors in 6. And, that makes sense, because they don't have home court advantage, so Game 6 would be in Oracle Arena. So, yeah, I think I will go Warriors in 6, but seriously, this should be... At least I really think that Houston, if they get game one, this is absolutely going 6 games. If they don't, I don't know. But it would be a shame if they lost. But I think this game is playing out about as I expected. You had to think that Golden State was going to come out with a really good effort Even at when they fell behind, they have been working. Ooh, wow, Draymond. I don't think that was too bad. Well, what do you think of that Draymond play right there?
Sorry, I had to mute. It looked like. I mean, that's a legal screen, isn't it? I mean,
I thought it was fine. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's a flagrant or anything. I thought that was just a screen. It looked okay to me. Maybe they called a moving screen. Maybe he kind of did run into the guy.
He looked like he was stationary, though, wasn't he?
I mean, I thought he might have moved his arm a little bit, but for the most part, he wasn't like he wasn't like ramming into the guy, I guess. But I thought it was a good call. I thought that was an appropriate call. I mean, he kind of did start to run into the guy a little bit. I have to look at it again. I didn't have a full picture of it, but
it was a play on Ariza. Ariza was running back on defense after I think it was a miss by Houston, and Draymond was standing about half court and he had his arms kind of crossed across his chest.
Yep.
And just kind of he was, he's a pretty stout guy, and Ariza just kind of hit him and then hit the floor. But I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at it. I just didn't feel like he was moving. But this is the kind of thing. Like he's trying to earn that reputation, and he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt in a lot of cases. And that's could be a problem for Golden State. We'll see. I mean, like I said, he's already got one technical. Tonight. So
yeah, that's not good.
It's not good.
That's really not good, because if he gets another one, then he's kicked out of the game, I believe. Like two texts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He can't have that, and I think that means he gets suspended for the next game. Like, oh man, I don't know if that's the case, but definitely you're out of that game. So he's got to have to calm down. I mean, this series is going to get intense. He's got to stay cool. So. I think both teams are playing pretty well overall. I think the defense for the Rockets has been solid. You haven't heard too much from Steph Curry yet in the early going, so they're doing the right job. But I do kind of wonder why they haven't built a bigger lead, the Rockets, yet. So, if they can get a lead at the half, I think they'll be fine. But you don't want to fall behind this early. I think you've got all the momentum for the most part. So they got to get Harden back in the game. Now, I got to check and see if he's in the game, because I don't remember seeing him. I don't know if necessarily it's because of the injury or what, but I think they're just going with bench guys right now. But they got to put him back now. Close this thing out.
Wait, who are you asking about?
Harden.
You're asking if someone. Oh, Harden got back in the game. Yeah, I did not actually see him, but he was on the bench. So that's a good sign. Like he wasn't like, it wasn't like they took him back to the locker room that I could see. Cause immediately after that play, I saw him, sitting on the bench. So, let's hope. I just, if there's an injury, you can throw this series out the window. It's not even gonna be close.
Right.
I'll have to see. Cause we're almost at halftime right now, right? Oh, there's about seven minutes left.
Oh, okay. I guess there's some time left. So let's, how long have we gone? 16, okay, another 5 minutes. So we'll have Tommy join us in about 5 minutes from now, and then I'll introduce him and do all the appropriate stuff, and share his thoughts on the series so far. So that's basically the gist of it. You said Rockets in seven. I said Warriors in six for the East Final. You said Celtics in seven. I said Cavs in seven.
I did say Cavs. I did say Cavs.
Oh, you did say Cavs.
I misspoke.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I still think they'll win it. I really do. I think LeBron is just, he's just playing on another level right now. And I think that the Celtics, I just feel like the Cavs have a lot of adjustments they can make. And I don't think we'll see another game like we saw on Sunday for the rest of the series. I mean, it's going to be a really hard fought series.
Yeah,
I agree. But I do think it'll go seven.
Yeah, it'll be good. I think those games in Cleveland will definitely be a big part of the story. If Boston can split those two, then they are in really good shape. So, we'll see. It should be interesting.
Harden is back in the game. And he's on the court now, so we're good.
Yeah,
we're good there.
Good stuff.
And Capella playing the D on...
I like it. Not a moment too soon.
On Durant.
Oh, yeah. Really? Hmm.
Yeah.
That's...
He's fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, Katie.
He's really... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you were saying he was really... I was just agreeing with it.
Yeah, no, he's... Capella's like kind of, he's like one of those lesser stars who's really kind of come to the forefront. And so if you don't see a lot of Rockets games, you are now. And he's showing you what he can do. Fun player. Really.
Absolutely.
Fun player.
I mean, and he knows how important his role is going to be in the series. Like you mentioned in the Utah series, he was blocking Gobert. I mean, who does that? Like, that was really good. So, one to watch. You know, you can be a fun player to watch and be a defensive player. Absolutely. And so Capella definitely doing that so far. Yeah, I got to close this out, though. You know, keep that defense going. Rockets. Ooh, wow. Ooh.
Wow.
Wow. I'm not sure how far ahead I am tonight, but that was a nice shot. So,
a little turnaround jumper.
Yeah. Kevin Durant with a really nice turnaround jumper.
See, this guy, man, he's just there's no answer for him, and he's really taken, you know, big steps as a defender too. I think he's maybe the second best player in the game right now.
The number one is LeBron. Yeah, that I think that's a fair. Yeah. That's very fair. Very fair, because nobody else in the NBA has the potential to go for like 50 points like he does. Yeah, I mean, I technically Westbrook could do that, but this guy is pure. Like, he's really good. And you mentioned his defensive improvement. His defense has been very key to their success in these last couple seasons. So it's important. I think it's a big important factor. It's funny that people really don't notice him because the team is loaded, you know, as far as starters are concerned. So, that's always one reason why people don't really pay as much attention. But he is playing great ball. Like, absolutely. Like, he's been huge this entire season. So I see, you know, like, I don't think he's gonna back down from that now. Let me see. Oh, I guess that was all. I'm just having fun watching this game. And you know what, Chris? The Warriors are now up by 6. The Rockets need a hoop. They got it. Oh, I'm sorry. The good thing is that they're at the free throw line, the Rockets. There we go. Harden just got a basket. So that was big. They needed to get some points in there.
Draymond just picked up his third foul, which is important.
Ooh, yes.
Like I said, you know, he's pretty key to what they do, especially on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so versatile.
Mm-hmm. He is their best defender, but he's really their only, like, really good defender other than Kit Durant. Like, it's he and Durant, and that's it. Like, everybody else...
Clay's good. Clay's a good defender.
Yeah, he's a good defender. All right. They're pretty good. I wouldn't necessarily say they're necessarily on the same level as the Celtics, but overall, yeah, you're right. These are three pretty solid defenders altogether. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And as we know, Draymond, even as he's getting older and bigger, still an exceptional defender today. So they need him. They cannot go extended minutes without him on the court. So let's see. We got about 5 minutes, a little over 5 minutes to go. So we'll see what happens there. So while we watch the rest of this second quarter, let's go to the teams that were bounced in the previous round. And we spent some time on Utah. I think Utah's got a bright future. Well, could have been, right, Chris? I mean, without Rubio was just tough sledding for him. And isn't there another guy that was missing too that they could have used? And it's too bad, but I like what I saw with Utah. It's just a fun team, great personality. I think they weren't backing down from anybody. It's just that the Rockets were too much. They were just hitting every 3-point shot in that series. And then we mentioned Capella, who was just destroying it in the paint for the Rockets. But I think Utah's got places to go. I think Donovan Mitchell had a fantastic campaign. And I think they've got a very bright future, a lot of potential too. I mean, your thoughts on the Utah Jazz as they head into the off season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, anytime you get a talent like Donovan Mitchell at 13, it just totally changes just the trajectory of your team. I mean, if you think about it, because you're talking about a team that barely missed the playoffs, and they get a guy who looks like he's just going to be a superstar. I mean, in the playoffs this year, they, they relied on, I mean, he was the leading scorer. I mean, they relied on him heavily. Did not play like a rookie. I mean, he was just making big shot after big shot. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. They're very heavily defensive minded, especially with Gobert in the middle. So they're going to be fun to watch. They're very well coached. And I'm looking forward to them, see what they do in the offseason. The team I'm really, and I think we do need to touch on, Dave, is the Raptors, because we talked about them last week, but a lot's happened to them since we last talked. And one of the things was their coach, Dwayne Casey, won Coach of the Year. And one day later, he was dismissed.
Yeah.
And for a team that won the Eastern Conference fairly convincingly, had the best record in the conference, had a really, had a very good regular season and disappointing postseason. A bit of surprise. Coach of the Year, I think you looked it up. A coach who won Coach of the Year and then was fired the same season. Did you say George Karl that happened to?
Yeah. George Karl got named a Coach of the Year, and then like less than a month later, maybe sooner than that, he was dismissed. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so they're really going to be an interesting team, because they're kind of stuck in this place where they are now, where I think Lowry is 32. I can't remember how old DeMar DeRozan is. I'll have to look it up. But they're sort of in this position where those two guys are going to be like making a lot of money, and they're going to be hard to trade because of age and dollars. DeRozan is 28, so, but he's making, they made in 2018, he made $27 million. And that number stays pretty static for the next 3 years. And then there's a player, or next 2 years rather, there's a player option in 2021. I guess you could trade DeRozan. In some ways, I feel like Lowry is a better player than DeRozan.
I agree 100%.
More dependable. He
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he was
like,
yeah, he was better in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just more dependable. But he's also 4 years older. That's the thing. His contract is worse. He's making more money.
It's tough.
So, and I don't know. They're in a really tough spot.
They really are.
They can, find a bunch of draft picks. I mean, they're gonna have to find a needle in a haystack where they're drafting right now. So that's gonna be a tough job. And there's been rumors like Budenholzer might take the job, and I don't know. That is a weird position, because you figure that if you fire the coach, you have someone in mind, and there's also talk that one of the assistants might take over. But I don't know. That's gonna be a fascinating one, Dave, and a team to as we look towards the offseason after the finals, they're going to be something to follow because I think they pretty clearly have to do something other than fire the coach. And what they'll be able to accomplish is going to be is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one.
This is a difficult situation. I think Kevin O'Connor actually had the right idea about a year and a half ago. It seemed kind of crazy at the time, but he's like, they should just break this thing up. He said that over a year ago. He said that. It may have been at the end of last season, but it was the right call. I mean, this team did not have much of a ceiling, as it turns out. Reminds me a little bit of the Washington Wizards that way, where, I mean, yeah, they can be a decent regular season team, but the kind of players they have do not owe themselves to a playoff series. It just isn't going to deliver. We thought maybe it'd be different because they've had stylistic changes, but at the end of the day, DeRozan was still DeRozan, and that's not a good thing when it comes to the playoffs, because the guy that barely ever shoots the three-point shot, I mean, you can't do that today. Like, you may have been able to do that like 25 years ago, but you cannot do that today. And so he was just bad. Like, you mentioned how bad he was, in the Cavs series a week ago. And I think he needs to be moved, but who's going to take him? Like, who's going to want him? That's the problem. Like, it might have been a problem last year too, because I'm thinking, like, well, people really were big on driving to the paint and shooting three-pointers then. And here's a guy that can't shoot the three, and not even can't shoot the three, but doesn't shoot the three. That's a tough call. He doesn't pass. He doesn't play defense. I was like, well, what is his use? It's like getting, I mean, they, you know, like the Bucks could have had him, but they already had Eric Bledsoe. It's practically the same guy, except he can shoot three-pointers. So I don't really know how this could have ended differently. I think that's sort of my ultimate takeaway. I think my question to you, Chris, is did they make a mistake getting rid of Casey, or was it just too much? Like, was it just too much of the same thing in the playoffs? Because they had done this over and over and over. That's what it is. It's not just like this year's series that they blew, but just the last 7 years, I don't know how many years, like 4 or 5 years of, losing in the semifinal round. And I think the organization wanted something different. So I don't agree with the firing the coach. I think they need to make bigger moves than that. But do you think that maybe this was the right call, or what did you think about the coaching decision?
Well, yeah, I think that, like I said, if you know, Casey's been there a long time. I think he's been there since 2011, if I'm not mistaken. He's been there 7 or 8 years now, and when he took over, they really weren't a relevant team. And in a lot of ways, he deserves some of the credit for bringing them back from and making them a relevant team. And this year, was no different. And they have the best record in the East, as I said before. But if you have someone in that position who's been there a long time and you fire him, I would expect that his successor is named almost immediately, within a day or two.
That's true. Yeah.
And the fact that hasn't happened yet is kind of leaves me scratching my head. So I can't really answer that because I don't know who his successor is, but the fact that it hasn't happened kind of leaves me worried, because who's out there as an experienced coach? I mean, you look at this team, are you going to hand it over to one of the bench coaches? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe Masai Ujiri, he knows the team and he knows the dynamics of the team really well. And he knows what was going on kind of behind the scenes, but Houston just tied it up 49-all. But, like I said, I would, if that's the case, then I would expect him to have named the successor already. So if I'm a Raptors fan, I'm a little nervous at this point, because I'm thinking, what is the direction? And if you're going to fire this guy, what's the plan? You know, I mean, if it is Budenholzer, you know, that's fine. I mean, it's, you know, he's probably a better coach than Casey, but you know, Budenholzer is going to have other options out there. I mean, there's, you know, rumors that he's talked to Milwaukee already. And if I'm Bud and I'm looking at, I can coach Giannis or I can coach, you know, Giannis who's, you know, on the upswing, or I can coach Lowry and DeRozan who are going to be on the decline. That's not that, you know, difficult a choice. I think I know where I want to go.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It looks like a mess to me, Dave. Yeah. I mean, it really does.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, there's really not much of a future left there. And you've got all these other guys that were signed to bad contracts. At some point, I feel like the GM, whoever he may be, needs to be held accountable for that. As James Harden hits the three-pointer, puts the Rockets up by one, and we're under a minute left in the second quarter. This has been a good game, but as far as the Toronto, I mean, I think they needed to either. I don't. Do you think that they should have blown this up a couple of years ago? Because the worst thing you can be in the NBA. Whoa, boy! Did you see that? Harden with a big dunk.
That was nice, left-handed too.
Yeah. Oh, this is perfect. And another one. Wow.
Do I think they should have blown it up? I mean, that one's tough, Dave. I mean, because if they had traded, well, it depends on what, you know, obviously what they could have gotten for that, those two players. Maybe I mean, Masai Ujiri has been really good at drafting and player development and scouting. So, you know, maybe they could have gotten better players, or, you know, through the draft, had they traded those two guys. But that's really hard. I don't even know. You know, again, you know, it's like what's, you know, if they had traded Lowry 2 years ago, he's still like 31. I mean, and point guard is such a deep position in the NBA right now that, you know, maybe there's not that huge demand for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough. It really is.
That's
it's like,
a tough one.
Even if you try to trade some of these guys, who's going to want them? Especially in the case of DeRozan.
Right.
Like, no one's going to trade for DeRozan. Barely anyone's going to trade for Lowry too. Like you mentioned, everybody's accounted for in the point guard department. Like he would have to be like a bench guy somewhere else, maybe in a team that's already pretty deep. So, I think it just amounts to two guys that they drafted. That they drafted for the Raptors, and you know they expected superstar level play, and they just didn't get it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a superstar, you're going to make big plays. You're going to play big games in big games. Like you're going to have a big performance in a big game. And Lowry did okay, but DeRozan didn't. He was bad. But neither one really elevated to the level that you would see out of most superstars that we've come to expect. And we're seeing it with James Harden tonight. We saw it with Steph Curry. We've seen it with Kevin Durant. We've seen it with Russell Westbrook. We've seen it with even Donovan Mitchell, like, and even your guys, like the Tatum and Brown, they both have risen to the occasions as very young players. So they've been at it for a while. Like, I think we're out of excuses for those two guys. I mean, this is what you get. Like, I don't think it's going to get any better than this. So it's just, I don't know if there's, maybe at the end there really isn't anything specific that the Raptors could have really done to make this go any better than it did. I mean, they had the best record in the NBA. They won all these games. I mean, this was their shot. They had every opportunity. It was all set up great. They had the home court advantage. They had presumably an easy opponent, but they still went too many games with them, even though it was just five. I still think it was too many games. But, or was it six? Did it go six? The first round series for Toronto?
Yeah, I think that's right, against Washington.
Yeah.
I think you're right, yeah.
It did? Went six? Well, either way, it went way too long. It should have been a sweep. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I think they earned the right to really prove that they were going to be mean something. And it all seemed to line up, and then they just laid an egg like that. And when you let LeBron hit you mentally like that, I mean, you know, you have to have the mental toughness too. I don't think it's as simple as just scoring the most points. You need to be willing to be able to put up a challenge. I do make the same criticism of LeBron, as a matter of fact. Like, because you kind of get the sense that when LeBron sees something going south, he just packs it in. I mean that on many levels, like not only just in with like staying with a franchise or even just within the context of a single game. Like, I've seen it in many different contexts, that situation with LeBron. But he does come up big games too. And I think that's what you got to do. You got to raise yourself to that upper level. And I think that's what it amounts to. I mean, these guys have been great for Toronto for the regular season, but they never had that fifth gear. And I think that's going to be that's going to be the epitaph for the Raptors franchise. Now, quickly before thoughts on that, it is a 56-56 tie at halftime. The Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets really has been a great game. They were just trading punches at the end of that second quarter. And so I found that very impressive. Really good game in the making. I can't wait for the second half. But back to Toronto. Any final takeaways from them and their in the future?
Yeah, I think the lasting image I have of that Cavs series is just DeRozan in the final game of the series, just sitting on the bench. I think we touched on it last time. I didn't blame Casey for sitting him because he was so bad.
Yeah.
But he's 6'7". He can score. He's not a great 3-point shooter. He's subpar. He's about 31% this year. But 6'7" wings are, you know, that's the kind of player everyone wants. I'm not saying that, that he's, you know, the ideal, but that kind of size and athleticism is on everyone's wish list. However, with a $27 million price tag, they'd almost, if they were to trade him, they'd have to take something back. And I don't know. I mean, you're almost at the point, if you trade those guys, you almost kind of go scorched earth. You just kind of burn it down to the ground and start over.
I think that's what they should do. I really think that should be the strategy.
Yeah, I'm almost like, you know, just go all in on the Tankathon Express then. Yeah. That is if you can trade them. But well, like, what I'm suggesting is you trade them, yeah, and you get like a horrible salary back.
Yeah.
And even like trade like some of the young guys. Maybe you can get some draft picks for some useful picks for some of the lesser expensive guys like Ananobi and Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. I just don't see those guys as building blocks. And maybe you can get a mid first rounder for some of those guys, which, you never know. You could turn into something useful down the road. Not that they're not useful, but the next really, if you do go that route, the next good Raptors team, those guys aren't going to be, useful to you. So you might as well.
Yeah.
As I said, I brought it up. I think they're going to be a fascinating team to watch in the offseason. I think this year is going to be bananas. I really do. I think after the finals, it's going to be absolute nuts. With your Lakers in the middle of it, mm-hmm, the Sixers.
Celtics.
Celtics a little.
With a draft lottery. Because that's going to be a big story.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Tomorrow's the lottery.
Yep.
So the Celtics have a very minuscule chance of of getting the Lakers pick if it's somehow the Lakers get the 2 or 3 pick in the draft, the Celtics will have a chance to get a DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic or one of those guys, Bagley. So we'll see. But I don't see a strong chance of that. But next year, if they don't get it this year, then we'll have the Kings pick next year, provided the Kings don't get the number one pick in the draft, in which case it will stay with Philly. But I expect the Sixers to get the Lakers pick tomorrow night, and that's what we'll find out. But that'll be interesting to watch, though, because there's a little potential drama there. And then as we get closer to the draft, it'll be really exciting. We'll have to do a draft show, Dave, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's key. Absolutely. A draft show will be...
like a recap kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to recap the whole thing. Just, like, recap the top 10, maybe, and we'd have a good show.
Yeah, for sure. And teams of interest that we like, mm-hmm. for example, like your Lakers won't have a number one, but maybe... I mean, look, do they have a second-round pick? I assume they do. Even if they, if we spend a few minutes on teams that we're fans of, for example.
Yes, absolutely.
The Celtics won't have a top ten pick in all likelihood, so mm-hmm. they'll have one in the late 20s. So I don't know.
You could do something with a late 20s pick, though. I think you could always absolutely. Find a good player. I mean, Lakers did it definitely, with Kyle Kuzma, definitely. So why not?
Absolutely. No, there's gems, man. I mean, And what we've seen, the trend is just that the teams go for the younger guys, and some of these older polished guys who stay for 4 years really show up. I mean, Kuzma's a good example. They play really well as mm-hmm. as rookies. And I mean, that's another thing too, not to get off on too much of a tangent, is that the way basketball is organized in terms of the draft is that you get these guys and they're coming in at 19, and by the time they're done with their first contract, you still may not know what you have.
Right.
And they're so young at that point that they're still kind of not a finished product. And that's, sort of what happened with Oladipo, is that he really, he kind of hadn't shown, there were glimpses and you saw like, that he might become a star, but Orlando wasn't willing to take that risk, and they made the trade, and he's kind of blossomed with his third team. And so you have those scenarios where some guys don't blossom, and then you have the alternative, which is like what the Timberwolves have with Wiggins, and they made it, they basically gave him a gigantic contract. You still don't really know what Wiggins is. So, I don't know.
I don't like what I see, though.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm not a fan. And that contract could be ugly. It could be really ugly. And so it's a fun thing to watch. And sometimes those one-and-doners, they're very tempting at the time, but, there's so much risk there. But I've gone off on a huge tangent here.
Well, it does have a segue, though, because I wanted to get into the Philadelphia 76ers postmortem too, and the draft is going to figure into that. One other thing that's related is Markelle Fultz, who I think they missed. They needed somebody like him in that last series against the Celtics. He certainly showed some signs of life at the very end of the season, but man, they were afraid to play him. And I don't know. The Sixers have been, it seems like the media wants the Sixers to make a decision on him, but it's barely been like part of a year with him. It seems too early to give up on him now, doesn't it?
I do not. That is just one of the huge mysteries of the NBA at this time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for God's sakes, you're down 3-1. What's the harm in playing the guy?
I agree.
And, you could have used, he's afraid to shoot, but he's still showing that he can be an excellent penetrator. I mean, if he's not ready now, when is he going to be ready?
Right.
And,
right.
like, when are they going to trust him? I don't, and it's still not clear to me what the heck is going on. What's wrong with him?
I don't know. What's
I don't know.
Going
it's
on.
Really it, the it whole really thing weird. Is bizarre, and you even go back to like when, you know, like you go back to like the draft and like the whole, I mean, there's a lot of storylines with that, with the Celtics, and they traded picks. And I mean, that's going to be interesting thing to, you know, to track, but man, it's, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that, Dave. I don't even want to gloat about it, because I feel bad for the guy, because he seems like a good kid, and I definitely got into like reading a lot about him when I thought the Celtics were going to draft him, and you know, he seems like a good kid. It's not like he's, you know, it's not like. I want good things to happen for him, just because he seems like a good guy, and I don't know. Maybe he comes back next year, and his shoulders, maybe it was all 100% injury. His shoulders are better, and he's shooting again the way he did in college, and the Sixers are happy for him, which would be fine, and it would be. But I don't know. It's dragged on so long. I mean, it's like, what the heck is going on? And for number one overall pick, you expect to see some dividends at this point. I mean, the cherry on the sundae too is that he was the guy who broke Embiid's the orbital bones in his face. You know, he collided with Embiid, and that's really? Why Embiid had to wear the mask.
That happened in practice, like, I guess, week. Right? Wow.
I think it was in a game.
Oh, wasn't a game.
I thought I saw it.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting trivia. Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, really ominous stuff for this kid.
Yeah.
And I take no joy in this. I really don't. It's such a strange thing, and I do hope he figures it out.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good. I mean, I know that the Sixers need another lottery pick to pan out, but I get, but you know, you still want it to succeed. I mean, and also for the Pac-12's sake, I think it'd be great to see the Pac-12 represented well. And so, I mean,
but
it's...
I'm not going to weep for the Sixers, just for the simple fact that they are loaded with talent.
Yeah.
You know, with Embiid and Simmons. And they have, like, you know, I think the fifth most cap room into this offseason. Granted, that doesn't include re-signing J.J. Redick if they choose to. But they've got tons of cap space. And they still have a lottery pick this year, in all likelihood. They'll have the Lakers lottery pick. So, and God forbid if the Kings end up with the worst record, that they're going to have the number one overall pick next year if that does happen. So I'm not gonna feel bad for them. But they're definitely gonna be a team to watch, maybe the team to watch in a lot of ways in the offseason, just because of all those teams that have cap space. You know, only one that made the playoffs was the Sixers. So we'll see. They're gonna be they're gonna be very active.
Absolutely, and certainly still a lot of rumblings on the table that they might go after LeBron and Paul George. I mean, in a weird way, it's a little realistic to get at least one of the two. It's certainly on the table. We know that seems like more of a pipe dream, I think, the LeBron part, but I do know that some of these other guys are going to have to go. I know that, for example, Redick is coming to the near... It's going to be time for him to reach free agency, Ilyasova, you know, guys like that. So I know that there'll be some definite changes when the bottom end of that roster by next year, but I don't think that necessarily means... I don't think that means that their window's closing. The only thing that I think would really close it would be if Embiid started to get banged up again. I mean, I think that's just going to be what he is. Like, he's always going to get hurt for a significant part of the season, but you hope that at least he's healthy enough to play most of it, and then play on all the big games. And what I've really noticed about him, beyond all the good stuff with the rebounding and his leadership and his ability to block shots, I mean, he's really impressive in that regard. But his mid-range game is good. He can shoot from three-point land. I mean, that definitely is a great player. as long as he stays healthy. And I think he did a decent job this year for the even with the face mask. I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, that's not his fault. That's a freak.
Yeah, exactly.
That's such a freak thing.
Absolutely.
Too.
So I think that assuming that you have a similar kind of outcome next year, and that's a big assumption. I know that, but say that he were to stay healthy enough to be play most of the season. Maybe let's just say the majority of the season. I think that's a good spot. I think they'll be good. I don't know. Simmons, everybody says like Simmons is going to be a great player. I think he is. I just hope that he finds a way to learn how to shoot a little bit. Like, I think if he were to shoot even just like some of the time, he's going to be unstoppable because he really is a dynamic player otherwise. So I think this
I totally agree. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say he's got nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be the guy to watch in the offseason. And I mentioned Jaylen Brown earlier, how he obviously worked on his shot. That's not a really good comparison because Jaylen Brown was a much better jump shooter and looked more polished. I mean, this is a kid who actually looks afraid of shooting. I mean, does not attempt three-point shots at all. And so, if he could eventually develop a jump shot a little bit, even just to the point where he keeps defenses honest, because his whole game is just penetrate and either, lay up or dunk or just kind of kick it back out. It leaves you with a bit of a one-dimensional player on the offensive end anyways. It's interesting too, is like, if that's what he ultimately is. And I mean, he's not that different from Markelle Fultz. I mean, neither of those guys can shoot. I mean, they're really good penetrators. They're good passers, but if they don't have the jump shot, they're almost, you almost can't keep both of them. Ultimately, I we'll see. I mean, again, they're both very young. And they've got time, and I'd love to see Simmons just needs to put in the work, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can happen. I mean, I think Kobe eventually got better at shooting as his career went by too. LeBron also got better at his outside jump shot with time in his career. So with effort, I think it'll come.
Yeah, LeBron was still better. I mean, this guy is kind of an anomaly. He literally does not shoot three-pointers. And
he just can't do that in today's game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised that people didn't pick up on that back in college, though. I mean, maybe it's because he barely played in college, too, but I am very surprised.
Yeah, I got to be fair. I really didn't see much of him at LSU. Mm-hmm. I did not see him very much at all.
Yeah.
And I guess he didn't. Did he? He missed a chunk of games at the end of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he did. No, yeah, you're right. He did. He actually did. I barely saw him play. I just remember people saying, "Oh, he's not putting all his effort into it. He wants his Nike contract." That's all I remember. I think I saw him play a single game. So I just did not get the full extent of his capability.
Well, we'll see that. But you're right. That was a good one. The Sixers were a good one to bring up, and it's a bummer the way the season ended for them. But there's a lot of room for optimism, and I mean that's the future of the conference right there. That's we're going to be seeing a lot of them, and to come from the point where they were not a playoff team, they were a lottery team, and then. To almost making the conference finals. I mean, that's a gigantic step. And actually, they were the third seed in the East. So it's a gigantic leap. And Rome wasn't built in a day. And, they'll be back. And they'll have, they'll have some decisions to make. Because as you pointed out, Bellinelli and Ilyasova and Redick are all free agents. And as is Amir Johnson. So.
Yep.
Anyways,
good stuff.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, good one for sure. And so now we'll watch the second half of the Western Conference Finals Game 1. The Warriors have the early lead, but we are just starting the third quarter. So with that, we say goodnight, podcast audience. And with that, I'll say goodnight to you, Chris. Have a great rest of your week. We'll be back. I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to look at the schedule. I got to figure out which game plays which. You know that they have like two off days this week? I'm like, what are they doing? Why are they taking two off days in the middle of the week, like at the end of the week like that?
Yeah, the Celtics play tomorrow night, which is Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then the next game is on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, it's just gigantic break.
That's ridiculous. I know, right? It's ridiculous. Like, I can't believe they did it again. I was looking through the ESPN thing. I'm like, oh, okay, good. Game 2, game 5. But I didn't notice that the next one was on, the third one was on Saturday. Or wait, the fourth game was on Saturday? I'm like, what? What the F? That is so dumb. Oh, my God. It's just like, wait.
I don't know.
That's game
don't...
3? That's not even game 4? That's game 3?
That's game 3, yeah.
Oh,
game
no.
Game 3 would be on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. Because, and I don't know how much it has to do with, you know, because they have to adjust the schedule somewhat because, you know, the series started earlier than it could have if, you know, if the Celtics series against Philly had gone 7, for example. So...
I,
you know, they have to have some cushion in the scheduling.
Yeah,
but man, it's that is a big layoff right there.
Yeah, it's
hopefully, yeah. If it means Jaylen Brown gets more healthy and he can rest on the hamstring, I'm all for it. But that is a weird one, though. For
it
sure.
is. It was just it definitely blew me away. I thought that if they wanted to do, like, if they wanted to end the series on Memorial Day, which is basically what they're doing here, that they want to end the conference finals on Memorial Day, that's all well and good. Start it later. You don't have to start on Sunday. Start on Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, and then you wouldn't have this giant gap. I think that would have made sense, but they are so beholden to TV ratings. Like, they're not willing to do games on Thursday and Friday. I'm like, not even Friday. It's Thursday and Friday, and Thursday's a good TV night. So the only reason they did that was just to find a way to get in the game on Sunday and get in the game on Sunday the next week, which is, like, just not realistic. So it's going to be awkward unless you start the series a couple days later. I don't think anyone would have lost sleep over that. Would you have had a problem if they started the Celtics series a couple days later? Maybe everybody gets extra rest. Like, why do the off days in the middle of the series? Do them before the series, and then I think everyone would be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I it probably, you know, it's things that I don't focus on, like TV ratings and, like, you know, starting that series on Sunday night. Well, it's something Sunday night. I don't know. Sunday afternoon.
It was Sunday afternoon, yeah.
Maybe that's like, you know, like a good – I have no clue, Dave. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'll tell you the what, though. If I were Cleveland, I'd be a little ticked off if they do that, just because you're talking about like almost like a full week off.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it helps you to rest, but you also, I think, you want to keep playing, and you know, at a certain point, it's just, you do get rusty a little bit, I think.
I agree.
But I was a little surprised, like, you don't get, like, a Sunday night game. Like, you know, the Celtics-Cavs, isn't Sunday night, like, the best TV viewing night? Isn't that, like, everyone's home and...
Yeah. It definitely is.
Sunday afternoon.
I mean, I think the next one will be on Sunday night. They have Game 7 scheduled for Sunday night at 8:30 your time, 5:30 my time, 6:30 Denver time, where I will be on that day. So we'll talk more about that in the next podcast, but yes, I don't honestly have an answer for that. What was I thinking? Okay. I guess it was Mother's Day, right? So maybe they want to do some Mother's Day sort of thing at night, American Idol or something. Maybe.
I don't know. The only time I watch network TV is if there's like a sporting event on right now. I'm so out of it. I guess there probably was like American Idol. Yeah.
I can't believe that show went back on the air. It's just like, what are they doing? It didn't even look good.
I wasn't aware it was off the air.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah. All right. So, but we do know.
All right, my brother. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a great time, and I look forward to finishing this game as well. This is a good setup for what should be a really good conference finals round. So, Chris, sending my best to you and your family. Looking forward to the next show. But for now, have a great week.
Same to you, Dave. Take care.
All right, you too, fella. That's Chris in Georgia, and that is our show tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Tom was unfortunately not able to make it, but he sends his best, and we'll see if we can get him for the next episode. And maybe Andy in Seattle will join him and me and Chris all together. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DitCow or on the web at www.ditcow.com. Enjoy the conference finals. More conference finals coverage next week. We'll see you next time.